All right, you've seen the list of my co-authors, so we'll move on. The background of this is the Conservation Effects Assessment Program, or CEAP, was initiated to determine the impact of management practices on water quality, and about 2 years later, they added a soil quality component onto that. And we have sampled about 17 experimental watersheds, 15 and then two other watersheds. And as part of this study, we did the near-surface soil quality, so we're looking at the 0 to 10 centimeters. Soil quality and metabolic activity on the long-term sites at near Riesel, Texas. And I'm not a Texan, so I had to, you know, sort of pinpoint it on the map, right? But you'll see that it's centrally, just pretty central, a little bit east, but it's still in the central plains. It's part of the Bushy Creek watershed, which in turn is part of the Leon River Basin, which is in turn part of the Brazos River. The experimental watershed was established in 1937, and these experimental sites were established in 1949. Mean temperature, 19 degrees, mean annual rainfall, 908. All the soils were Houston black, which is a verdisol. They had heavy in clay, Montmorillon clay. Land was 0 to 8% slope. And yes, I already told you that it was 0 to 10 centimeters depth, and it was in fall of 2006. These are the five field treatments. There's field numbers, which, you know, if you know Riesel, I can tell you what field numbers they are. But they were native prairie remnant that was never tilled, but it is cut for hay. There's the other four sites were originally tilled pre-1949, most likely cotton. 1949 to 2006, the first one was converted to coastal Bermuda grass and has been grazed. When I say recently grazed, it was grazed just before we sampled. The CBTL is coastal Bermuda grass, was established in 1964 after being cropped in a cotton and corn grain sorghum small grain rotation. And since 2001, it had been receiving 2.5 to 3 tons per hectare per year of turkey litter. And then two of them are still in row crops. The first one's small grain cotton and then a corn or grain sorghum. And the second one is in small grain and corn grain sorghums. There's no cotton. We did use the soil management assessment framework. I hate to call it a model, but it's a framework. It's a series of equations in an Excel spreadsheet that was chosen to assess the soil quality in these watersheds. It is management sensitive. It's dynamic. We're looking at dynamic properties. But it does use things such as inherent soil characteristics, soil type, texture, morphology, landscape, climate, and then in that as well as management goals or environmental protection. So Each indicator has a series of curves. It'll be, if you view it on the right, is you either have a more is better or conversely a less is better. And I have a sample up there of soil organic matter. Bulk density would be an example of less is better. And the midpoint optimum, I have a phosphorus family of curves up there. Different examples. So you can have low P index or scoring index. Either you don't have enough phosphorus, and so it's in the grading part of the curve. You have one is optimum. Depending on your soil type, you may have a shorter or long span of soil of phosphorus content that's in that region. And then it starts going downhill, basically due to soil type and slope, because this is where it begins to be a detriment to the environment. And I told you I was looking at metabolic activity. We looked at five enzymes, beta-glucosidase, which is involved in cellulose degradation, NAG, which is converting chitin to amino sugars, acid phosphatase, which is transformation of organic and inorganic P to available P, aryl-amidase, which catalyzes terminal amino acids, and then it releases ammonium, and FDA hydrolysis, which is an indicator of general microbial activity. Looking at the physical attributes we measured aggregate stability and bulk density. Aggregate stability, you know, it ranged from 80 to 96%, but in this soil type, you consider that all well within the range of a good functioning soil. Bulk density, not so much. Obviously, the native remnant prairie had the highest score, but really, compared to other verdisols, you know, we're only up to 73% function. So we're comparing this to a lot of other like soils. The turkey litter was getting back up there. Coastal Bermuda grass and the row crops are all pretty low. Did note that some of the enzymes were related activity. If you see blanks, they were not significantly related to the soil indicator. If you look at chemical reactions, pH and EC, EC no issue, although 5 minutes. It is highly related to EC for the enzymes, despite the score, but the enzymes are impacted. pH is not really a big issue. This is a calcareous soil. There is a it's calcareous soil. I'll stop there. Microbial and biological and microbiological attributes that were measured. Some have soil indicator scores. Mineralizable carbon does not, so that column is missing. It was very high in microbial biomass carbon, and obviously thus it scored a 1. It was not too bad in the soil carbon, especially obviously the native prairie one, which was functioning at 94%. Coastal Bermuda grass. Surprisingly, the one with turkey litter was lower in soil organic carbon. And I'm thinking that may be because with the added nitrogen and phosphorus, which seems to be limiting, the phosphorus is limiting in this system, it probably allowed greater decomposition of the carbon in the litter, and it didn't transfer into gains in the soil. Row crops were notoriously bad. High relationship with the enzymes, with SOC, microbial biomass, they are all intercorrelated. And then the readily available carbon was also a strong correlation. Just to see what the enzymes looked in terms of activity versus the different cropping systems. We have the beta-glucosaminidase or NAG activity, acid phosphatase, aryl-amidase, and FDA. I did not show beta-glucosidase because that was an indicator that you saw on the slide before. So similar, a lot of them were the highest in the coastal Bermuda grass turkey litter. Usually the next level was the native prairie, but not always. The FDA seemed to be higher in the row crops. Nutrient attributes, phosphorus, it was certainly in some instances phosphorus poor. That would have been in the native prairie soil. The row crop 2, ideal amount. The rest were reduced in score because they were a risk environmentally for danger of phosphorus running off into the water systems. Then you see the potassium and the mineralizable nitrogen and the total nitrogen, all of which had heavy relationships with the enzymes. The one thing I want to point out is copper and zinc. These were in deficit relationships in the soil, and it was highly correlated to the enzymes. I suspect that it was also caused some problems with crops because zinc was definitely below optimum for the crops. Near-surface soil carbon, you saw some of, I've talked about some of these results already. Bulk density was significantly higher in the row crop sites. Phosphorus, I've already discussed how the difference between the scores, whether it was in the deficit grading part of the scoring curve or in the degrading part. Metabolic activity, FDA was significantly correlated with beta-glucosidase, but not with any of the other enzymes. The other enzymes are highly correlated with one another and significantly correlated with labile carbon and total nitrogen. Zinc impacted all enzyme activities. Copper influenced 3 of the enzyme activities, and 4 were highly correlated with phosphorus and potassium levels. I went backwards. Soil quality overall, about 81% optimum for the native prairie and the row crop. The row crop one and the coastal Bermuda grass, row crop 2 had a significantly lower, and the turkey litter had the highest SQI overall. And thank you. With that, that's the end. Beta-glucosidase, because that is really related to the turnover of residues. It's cellulose degradation. And it's a little hard for the second one in phosphorus systems, acid phosphatase, but we're also finding that NAG is quite important in terms of nitrogen and soluble nitrogen. Of those 3, I think those, I know you said 2 and I said 3, sorry. Yes.
The total soil quality scores, are those just the sum total of all the indicators in that score?
Yes. And the reason I broke them out by physical and chemical attributes was so you could see sometimes the total score doesn't give you the whole picture. So. Ted, do we have that kind of information?
I'm sorry.
You weren't paying attention.
It's a selfish question about whether there was plans to relate that to any of the above-ground parameters with the long-term cost, and you have lots of biomass data, and you know, the impact of that
we probably have the data.
We'll find out. It is a thought. Okay. All right.